Case number 10392, Flexera, northeast of Road 357, east of Bayfront Drive, being lot 25 within Quillen Point Development, a special use exception to place a windmill.
Whoever's going to testify.
Bob Light, LIGHT.
Address?
233 Oak Road, Selbyville, Maryland.
Selbyville, Maryland?
I'm sorry, Delaware.
Okay.
The other Selbyville.
Sir?
Just.
Name and address.
Tom Farah, 38142 Bayfront Drive.
Okay, and do you both swear affirm testimony about to give, so be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Thank you.
Good evening, gentlemen. Before we really start, I do want to clarify one thing. There have been no windmills come down because of foundations. Two windmills were taken down only for the reason that the Homeowners Association threatened to take the homeowners to court. And those windmills were removed only because of that. Probably where you heard the rumor was that we had a little bit of movement in the foundations because they were brand new and the contractor did not compact the soil properly. He will not be installing any more windmills for us. But there was zero, and I want to make sure everybody understands, there was zero chance of those windmills coming down. They were put in per the specifications, per the soil. They were over 10 foot deep, over 10,000 pounds, so they were substantial. The only movement was a little bit within the compacture, and there was no danger, zero. In fact, the windmills, at least one of those windmills will be going back up. The homeowner is negotiating with the homeowner association, so there's no litigation, and that's what the concern is. There were three lawyers in there from DC, and they've created some havoc. So there is no danger and has never been any danger of any windmill coming down. Just the opposite. If you wanted to take that windmill and foundation out, you would be better off cutting the tower, because 10,000 pounds of concrete on the ground is rather substantial. So I just want to make sure everybody understands there was never any danger of any tower coming down. And we also do use foundation specifications that are recommended by the manufacturer, and they are stamped by the manufacturer. In fact, they're stamped in many locations, for many states, and we abide by their recommendation, if not going over a little bit in amount of weight that is underground. So I just wanted to make sure everybody understood that. And in fact, you'll find some foundation specifications in a packet I'd like to hand, if that would be okay.
Okay, that'd be fine.
Hopefully these are all.
And Mr. Light, you understand that this isn't a request for a variance, therefore we're not addressing the standards for a variance, but yet the special use exception, right?
That's correct. What I wanted to do is just make sure that everybody was on the right page with the information. And please excuse my glasses. I picked my grandson up tonight, and he broke my glasses here, so it's not a new style. I'll have them fixed tomorrow. This is for an installation of the SkyStream 3.7. This will be, it's being requested for a home in the Ocean View area, waterfront. It's located in the back of the house so that there is no obstruction of view from any other property. The top of the house is around 28 foot. The tower is 33, That means the tip of the windmill will be approximately 40 foot. The covenants of the neighborhood has a top height of 42 foot. So if you're within the covenants of the neighborhood, it would be difficult to see over top of the house to have any type of view, and it doesn't obstruct view from any other direction. Noise is actually 47 decibels, as was described before. It's much lower than a heat pump and traffic, and it is set back a ways and so that the noise is absorbed by the dwelling for a large extent, but it's still very, very little. The windmill is designed to be somewhat quiet. As far as utility use, where it's located, which is back by the water, it has no potential of obstructing any utility use as far as driveways or pathways or, it just doesn't have any proximity to the neighborhood properties that would cause any obstruction of use. So I've addressed, views, I've addressed noise. The value of the property actually increases in the properties around it. Any dwelling that produces $1,000 of savings in utility bills per year equates to $20,000 in added value of that property. And that is, that's per the National Realtors Association. In fact, we have calls every day from contractors wanting alternative energy put on their new home, so it would increase the probability of sale. As we go through the pamphlet, and I have the one that's upside down and everything, which is good, I wanted you to see that we have a recommended foundation from the manufacturer. That slab is actually for the soil, and actually will probably go a little bit deeper than what that recommends. They are engineered stamped, and as I said, we follow them to the T. We have somewhere in the neighborhood of 9 towers up right now, and those foundations don't move, I guarantee you. So that's pretty much what we have tonight as far as the impact on utility use of any property. I can't imagine there being any. It increases property value, noise is low, doesn't impact visual effects unless you were above that 42-foot range. Even if you were, you would not have a whole lot of view over top of the property. Are there any questions?
Mr. Light, it's my understanding that we can possibly anticipate even more windmills in the future?
Yes, sir.
And that's probably because of the government's incentive?
That's true. Plus, one of the impacts that we have along our coastline is the actual resource. And so there's a break-even point of around 11, 12 miles an hour. When you get up into that 12 miles an hour and higher, then you have a natural resource, which only is logical to tap into. And that's what we're doing here. We have a very good wind resource, and the property owner is going to be able to enjoy taking some of the energy out of that air, out of that wind. So it's a logical application. We're, in fact, in the process of, which will be the next hearing, our next time I'll be in front of you will be for our own personal windmill, which we're going to be manufacturing in Sussex County. And that's so that we can take advantage of our coastline. So it's just a logical application for this area. Now, if we were 2, 3, or 4 miles inland, you really would have to study your topography very well to make sure that you do have a good wind resource. But in this case, it's dead on. It's a good fit for the house. It's tucked in where the house kind of protects it a little bit from view. You know, it just pops up a bit. It's open, so you can see through it. So a flagpole with a flag would actually be more of an obstruction than this windmill would be. It is painted gray, which is the color that absorbs best into the background. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's a very good application. And with the foundation, as I stated, that is the manufacturer's recommendation. We have a lot of experience with the foundations. And that is PE stamped, which went in with the permit. And I think we have this pretty well covered.
Yeah. Any questions from members of the board, Mr. McCabe?
Well, I think there's another gentleman that would like to speak.
Okay.
Thank you.
You want to speak? Okay. I don't know if they had any questions first, but go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just want to address the board that I'm the homeowner, and I'm anticipating some big reductions in greenhouse gases with this. And I think based on the trend of the nation today, it's the right thing to do to move forward in this direction. Mm-hmm. I don't like to be on the bleeding edge of technology, but certainly the leading edge, and this is, I think, the correct way to go. You have any questions for me?
So you're trying to reduce your carbon footprint.
This will reduce, I think, 4,700 tons annually, I think, for this.
Yeah, I believe that. Yeah, that's
right. Yeah, and I have some support from my neighbors doing the same thing.
You'll hand it down to the secretary, please.
Would it be helpful to see a map of the community?
Yeah, we have
one.
A tax map.
We have a tax map.
We have Google.
Okay, you have a tax map.
So. Yeah, yes, sir. We have Google.
We have Google Earth.
And Google Earth. Okay. Do you have more than that?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Okay, again, is any other questions or any further questions from anyone? Mr. McCabe?
I have none.
Okay, Mr. Wortman, do you have any?
Is this the same one you've been selling?
Sir, would you come back up?
Is this a different one than what you
have? We actually sell several different types. The ones we've been in for primarily have been the verticals. This is a horizontal.
Oh, okay.
But we've had this in our lineup for well over a year. We just completed the last installation about 2 weeks ago near Galena, Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
That was on a 45-foot tower, and that's up and running. And so there's probably about a half a dozen of the horizontals installed in this area.
Is that, mm-hmm. that same type you got in Delaware Electric?
No, that's a vertical.
That's
the vertical. Yes, that's a little bit smaller in wattage. It's a 1.2. This is actually rated for, well, it depends on which literature you read, but it's around 2.4 kW is what it's rated.
Okay.
One of the co-op, again, is 1.2, so it's a bit smaller.
Small.
Yeah, but it's not necessarily smaller in size. It's just a different technology.
Vertical to
right, that's an 8x8 configuration. This is 12 foot in diameter, but it's very thin. So if it kind of turns sideways to you, all you see is the hub. Mm-hmm. You don't see anything else.
I was reading here to you, eight miles an hour, you're not getting anything out of this?
Yeah, it starts turning around eight.
It starts turning around eight.
Right. You know, between six and eight. And you start getting some generation between eight and nine. And then it picks up from there. It's exponential, actually. Your curve goes up very quickly. With
what's the top speed of that? I mean, or is it break down on that? I mean, it's like 12, 14 mile an hour, and it's got brakes on it to keep it from going?
No, that'll continue to spin and produce. The top output is somewhere in the neighborhood of 2.4, 2.5 kW, and then that's the max output.
The max.
But it'll spin. It's rated up, I believe, 131 miles an hour, I believe. Is that the case?
140.
140. Mm-hmm. So, and we actually have a full-scale model in our showroom. So you can come in and take a look at that anytime.
It's turning 140 mile an hour.
No, we won't spin at 140 mile an hour for you, but it is capable of that.
Up to 140.
Mm-hmm. I won't be here in that case.
What's that, Mr. Miller?
I say I won't be here in that situation.
No, I'll be right behind you. So we'll leave a video camera to witness it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Please wait for Jen. Any other? Mr. Trusty, any further questions? Mr. Miller? Okay, hearing no further questions. Are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? Please keep your hands up. We got 13 in favor, okay?
Impressive.
Okay, is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Okay, we keep them up, please. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
I got 17 letters of opposition.
17 in opposition letters?
Yes. Also, there's 4 open permits on this house that have not been finalized. Okay. And to finalize them out, they're going to have to need an elevation certificate because it's in a flood zone.
Okay.
And actually, one of the permits is the actual house has never been issued a CFO.
I have a CO on that.
Sir. Okay.
I'm just reading by the readout that we have on the computer. It says it's never been issued. And we can research that to find out for sure.
Okay. All right, let's get back to this now. Do we have a spokesman or you're in opposition, sir? Everyone that's in opposition that would like to speak, would you please come forward at this time to be sworn in? Again, out of the 7 here that was in opposition, those that would like to speak, please come forward and be sworn in at this time. Thank you.
Okay, one at a time, your names and addresses, please.
Paul Wilkinson, 1101 Hopeton Road.
Yeah, 11
Greenville
letters.
1987.
17 letters in opposition.
Russell Trout. I'm sorry.
There's
7 here in opposition.
Russell Trout, 700 Pinehurst Road, York, Pennsylvania.
Okay, sir.
Gerald Campbell, 38924 Bayfront Drive.
Opposition.
Thomas Point.
Okay.
Yep.
Sir?
Here.
Arthur Goodwin.
Okay.
Thank you.
Address?
38916 Bayfront Drive.
You all able to get your hands here on the same time?
I'm sorry.
Do you all swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give should be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay. One at a time, you were here first, sir, and whoever wants to go first, just please don't be repetitive. It's getting late.
Okay.
Good evening, sir.
Hi, good evening. My name is Paul Wilkinson. I'm a board member, along with Tom, Quillen Support and Homeowners Association. I'm also chairman of the Architectural Review Board Committee. And there was actually the submission to the community was twofold. There was solar panel and also the windmill. We passed the solar panels, and the board unanimously turned down the windmills for various reasons. There's some more opposition letters that came in. I'm not sure which ones, but if I can turn those in.
Mr. Wilkinson, with all due respect,
yeah.
You do understand we don't enforce the deed restrictions. Or
no, I understand. That wasn't going to be I'm here representing the board. These folks are here representing themselves. I mailed some information in earlier in the week, and the one thing it was... this map, and basically when he put the submission in, I think he had to notify 11 or 12 different folks as to it. The letters that you got, these X, this is the proposed location here. The X's here are all the folks that are opposed to the windmill. So everybody, anybody that's in favor of the windmill doesn't live within several houses of it. So he's kind of out on a peninsula where he is, and everybody around him has said they do not want the device. Other folks, there's 100 homes in the neighborhood, on the other side of the neighborhood, over where I live. There's also some pictures that I sent in. When they said it's not going to be that close to any other houses, this is Tom's house. This is the other house right here. You can see that from above. But when they're saying it's not going to affect other people's views, this is the neighbor's deck that's going to be speaking. That's his sight to the bay. And you see the wind. I drew it in there. It's sort of to scale, but sort of freehand as well. But that's where the windmill's going to go. And that's pretty much... What's up? The opposition comes in, I guess, on many levels, but the neighborhood was built, all the utilities are buried underground, and so it's a neat sort of confined community, but the neighbor next door that wasn't able to attend purchased his home, he said, for $1.35 million and spent the last year renovating that house and investing a lot more money in it. And this windmill, nobody's told us exactly how far it's going to be from his deck because we haven't seen an actual where they want to put it. We just got a sort of a broad submission. But it's going to be anywhere from 20 to 30 some odd feet from his deck. The inverted floor plan, the thing spinning around is going to be right there. And he said, you know what, I like Tom. Tom's done a ton for the neighborhood. He runs our water plant. He's been on the board for years. He's their treasurer. And in terms of being a neighbor, he's top notch. But the other people's investment, when they have over $1 million invested, and they're expecting things to be a certain way, they want that preserved. And we have those, you know, you said you don't speak to covenants, so, you know, I'll leave that alone. But when looking for this, where this location is, I did some research into it, because I didn't just want to willy-nilly say we're opposed to these things for the sake of being opposed to them. We're not anti-green. We approved the solar panels that are going to be on his roof. I talked to the Flexera folks, and they told me that he uses 2,300 kilowatts of power a month. The windmill's gonna generate about 320. You do the math on that, that's about 13% of his power, which is an interesting question that the folks right before us, they're putting up too. If you're only generating 13% of your power with one windmill, what stops you from doing two, three, four, whatever? And this is a quarter acre lot. So I know the county requires 5 acre minimum without the special use exemption. This is a quarter acre. And that's what the general size of this community are. So it's really not an area where you can put this thing, where it's not going to affect everybody. But I went to their website, the Flexera, and then they have the Southwest Wind Power, and it says the siting wind generators. And this is the device that they want to put up from their website. And it says the property should have half an acre or more. It goes on to say that you should be at least 20 feet above any surrounding obstacles, such as trees or buildings, in a 250-foot radius. You saw it from the pictures. This thing is within, an arm's length to Tom's house, and within about 20 feet or so to the neighbor's house. So he certainly doesn't have the 20 feet above any surrounding structure or tree. And those figures that they gave of what this thing was going to generate, that, you know, 13% of the power. I don't know if it takes this into account or not, but it says excessive turbulence or bad wind causes fatigue, damage, and shortens the generator's working life. When siting, keep away from local obstacles such as large trees, houses, and a taller tower. So we sort of question, everybody wants to be green. We're not opposed to his solar panels. We're not opposed if he wants to do a geothermal or anything else, but when you're putting up devices that are over 40 feet tall, that are that close in proximity to the neighbors and affecting that many people's views, you know, that's where we take exception to it. You know, so covenants we're not allowed to say. You know, this is one thing one of the neighbors that's not here really stressed upon, how this is a danger to bird life. He said in California there's actually environmentalists suing windmill companies because they're killing birds, particularly birds of prey. And this is a peninsula with marsh out across there. We have several nesting pair of osprey. I thought it was kind of a flimsy argument until I Googled windmills killing birds, and we got a bunch of articles coming up how they're a danger to birds of prey, particularly osprey, eagles, that sort of stuff. So, you know, all over the board. Where am I at? we didn't know to oppose them on the fact that they're falling over. You know, we heard testimony that they're not falling over, but we also heard that they were, so that would be a new concern, because this is sand, it's fill, it's waterfront. Right after that, a couple feet after, it turns some riprap, and then, you know, you're right into the bay. I guess that's it. And just to point out that this not being a green issue and carbon footprints, the folks that are in opposition, four of them carpooled in a Prius, and the guy that wants the windmill drove in a Jeep SUV. So it's not, I mean, we start getting kind of goofy when we're saying, you know, what are we doing for the environment, you know, anyway. So the board's feeling on it, we took a vote on it, it was a unanimous vote against. We asked Tom to wait till we have our annual meeting, it was in 2 weeks, because if you wanted to change the covenants, you get a vote from the, you know, the homeowners, we could do that. We asked him to wait to that. He didn't want to do that, and I think he didn't want to do that because overwhelmingly it's been, you know, opposed to the device. So we're sort of left here as our last recourse.
So in your opinion, it would substantially affect adversely the uses of neighboring and adjacent
properties? Well, yeah, I showed you the peninsula, how it goes out to a peninsula. Everybody that's on the water is opposed to it, but also the lots that are on the inside. So if you're not on the water, your basic views are between houses. And again, going back to the covenant, part of our job under the covenants and what we all signed off on is to protect not only the homeowner, but also the views and the any structure or improvement that goes up in the neighborhood needs a needs to be approved, which this has been declined. So it's just turning into another issue where if they choose to not go through that process and get the approvals through us, but they did submit it, they got it declined, it just puts us in another bout of litigation, which we know we're doing right now. A gentleman decided he wanted to pave the front right corner of his yard and park an RV on it. So we're about $10,000 in 2.5 years into fighting that. This is just going to be in, you know, the next situation like that, which we're hopefully looking to oppose.
So you said the people right next to him, all around him, all against it. 17 people, 17 letters you got?
No. I think it was 11 or 12 folks that he had to notify. All but two of those submitted letters against it. And there are all the people grouped around him. The two that didn't, one was an LLC and the other one I've never heard of. So I think they're empty lot owners over here. I'm not sure, to tell you the truth, because I've never met them. But anywhere, this is where it is. Anywhere with an X, which are basically the people he notified there, those are the letters that you have. And then you also have a letter from myself who's over here. The folks that are mostly in favor of it are over on this side over here.
Okay.
You know, they're all neighbors over here. And I respect their opinions as well. But the folks that would be directly impacted by this have all unanimously said, we don't want it. Okay. And then we've had three past presidents that have said that, you know, and past board members all saying, you know, this is a big concern. We can't let this happen, that sort of thing. So that's where we are.
Okay, sir.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Gerald Campbell, I don't want to repeat. Paul did a good job. I live directly opposite this house, and that windmill will stand above the house as an ugly nuisance to me as it blows all day and all night. That's one issue, but there is no utility in that community that's above ground. Telephones, electric lines, cable, all underground. This would be an unsightly nuisance at the very least. We're all set back on a side, 10 feet on each side. We're very closely situated, so that it's impossible to put something up like this where it wouldn't look like a nuisance. Now, the same property that's looking for an application, they put 10 tons of riprap behind their home to keep the land from eroding into the water. There's no bulkhead there. And when I put a bulkhead in, we needed 30-foot pilings just to keep the bulkhead up. Moreover, the house to his right, looking out on the water, sunk. And it had to be lifted off the pilings and new pilings put under it. So when you say you can put a foundation in there, I doubt it. In order to put a foundation, I think you'd need some kind of a wall and then pilings to go in. You're far more educated in this issue than I am. But rather than repeat Paul, who did a good job, I certainly don't want it. I don't think it's going to add to my property value. In fact, I think it will take away. As far as going green, I'm the guy that's been driving the Prius for the last 3 years. So here we are. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Hi, I'm Russ Trout. I am the fellow that's probably the most affected by this. this is the site in question. Were the house right here, directly across? This is a picture taken from our roof deck. Our main living space, it's an inverted floor plan house, is one story down. And we would be looking at this thing 100% of the time. This is our main view, straight across to the bay. And, you know, we're going to see this 12-foot either stationary or 12-foot spinning, you know, thing all the time. Wind energy is probably something that's good for the future. The American Wind Association recommends 1 acre or more for any structure of this nature. In fact, I believe your own guidelines here or code is 5 acres. Is that correct? These are quarter acre lots in a community that is very close. And, you know, it would just not be in character with the community. I have been told that there is some amount of continuous noise, maybe no greater than the decibel level they're talking about, but a continuous whir of that nature. Sitting out on the deck, I doubt any one of us would enjoy that continuous, even though it's not loud, continuous whirring noise. And then lastly, I'm a duck hunter. I'm a Ducks Unlimited guy. I keep my boat over behind Bud's house. We get up at 4 in the morning, and we go over and we duck hunt over right across from this property out in the marsh. I have, from the marsh and on many occasions, seen flights of geese, flights of ducks come right over this right-hand-to-God location in masses. I wonder if this thing's spinning at 50, 60, and I have a little wind gauge on the top of my house that is registered 90 since we've lived in this house for 10 years. I don't know how fast it's going. When there's a 50, 60 mile an hour, which is not unusual, I can see a flight of geese coming into this thing. And then we would be on the bleeding edge of technology here.
Or you'd have free geese.
Or we'd have dead geese or geese through everybody's windows or parts thereof. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Tim.
I'm Arthur Goodwin, and I'd like to just summarize some of the points in my letter that I mailed to you on the 13th. And I think more of it has to do with the quality of life and why did we buy in Quillen's Point, why did we build in Quillen's Point, and not too much on the technical aspects. As Jerry told you, our lots are pretty small, relatively speaking. I'm a full-time liver there. I've been there for 19 years, and I've watched the community develop, and we have nice homes, and they're well-kept, and most of us enjoy our community and the water and the boats because we have decks in the back, and we do our stuff in the back away from things. But the way the properties are laid out, and they're relatively small, if you're in your backyard trying to enjoy your quality of life, you have access by sight and hearing to about 6 or 7 lots. I could see and hear the windmill that's over in proposed in Tom Farrar's lot. Now, I can't tell you very much about the technical aspects other than I've had nobody has really given you, as far as I know, a decibel curve on what the real noise is and how it how it compares with something. I do know that when the wind speeds up, the noise of the propellers does increase. And my experience for that, although it's not technically measured, is from the windmill that's down in at Cape Hatteras that services the maintenance building down there. And when the wind's blowing and that's turning, You can hear that from your car when you're driving by, and it's probably 150 or 200 feet from the road. So there is going to be a noise impact, and there is going to be a visual impact. And as my wife and I said, we just don't believe that any windmill is appropriate in any lot in Quillen's Point. Thank you.
Okay, sir.
Could I say one further thing?
Okay.
That I forgot.
Mr. Mills asked a number of the previous applicants to go through the five or whatever it was.
That's for standards for granting a variance, but this request is for a special use exception.
So this doesn't apply?
The only requirement of either the applicant or the opposition is to show that it will or will not substantially affect adversely the uses of neighboring and adjacent properties.
Okay. All right. That was my question. Thank you.
Okay.
I want to just address a couple things. One, as far as the this equipment being placed in a good location, manufacturer gives you specifications on any alternative device, on anything that's normally used, a heating system. They give you specifications of how to install that. Now, for instance, on PV panels, at our location, the best method, the best positioning of these PV panels is 192 degrees south and on a degree of about 38 degrees. And that varies from season to season, but on average, that's your best setup. Now, any variations from that, if you go to 205 degrees, you may lose a percent or two of efficiency. It's the same thing with the windmill. They give you specifications of where to install these windmills. And these are windmills that are designed for high-density locations. The fact that we're less than the setback means we lose several percent of efficiency. Doesn't mean it's a misapplication. Just the opposite. This is a very good application. And I understand, concerns about views and that sort of thing and how you want the neighborhood, but the same neighborhood allows a gentleman to have three issues with their own covenants, with the trees too high, the building above its the 42-foot, which gives them a view over top of this house, as stockade fencing. So the fact that they're taking exception to this, but yet they don't hold up their own covenants, is certainly an issue. And we just have to try to match what's best for the community. I do understand that, and that's why you're sitting there. But I just want you to understand that the application of the equipment is very good here. You have the wind resource, and you're well within the design criteria of the windmill before it would fall out of not being a good application. So from a technical side, that's correct. As far as the foundation, I don't know if this gentleman's an engineer, but I'm an engineer, and we'll make sure that foundation will not move, I guarantee you. And we do check soil types, and then we put in the recommended soil for a foundation for that. If we have to dry pilings, we dry pilings. And just last week at Broadkill Beach, we actually placed a 3-foot diameter piece of culvert type pipe down 12 foot to stabilize a foundation before we put a foundation in, just because of that. So we don't cut any corners, and we're very safe. Okay. Any questions?
Could I ask this gentleman a question?
Yeah, you can ask. You can ask the board a question.
This gentleman referred to a non-conforming house. I assume he was referring to mine.
Gentlemen, you can address the board.
I'm sorry. This gentleman referred to a non-conforming house, which I assume, from the way he said it, was mine. How would I ask that question to find out? Because that is not true. When we built the house, it was in total conformity. We got the occupancy permits. We had the height checked.
There are no issues. Honesty, I can tell you that's probably not going to enter into the board's concerns because we're really not interested in the covenants.
Okay. Yeah.
Really, it just has to do with the effect on neighboring properties. No, sir, you weren't even sworn the first time, so you can't come up late.
Okay. That'd be the end of it. That's all the opposition. Hearing none. No further opposition. Chair will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to review the letters that have come in. So I'd make a motion that we would table case number 10,392 into our next regular meeting.
Okay, do I have a second to that motion? I have a motion by Mr. Mills and a second by Mr. McCabe that we table case number 10,392 until our next regular meeting, which will be May the 18th. All those in favor of the motion, give the usual voting sign.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Case will be tabled.
The hearing's
closed. No, the hearing is closed as of tonight, sir. There won't be any taken.
You can either, you can come and sit and, until the end of the meeting, or you can turn on the internet. We're on there as well and view our deliberation.
And may break.
Case number 10.